This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Good afternoon, Mr. Andrews. Slightly addled, you know, after my cider imbibement.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. It was good. As you know, I was in lovely
Do you know you got a parrot on your shoulder still?
Oh, are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, there were some lovely pirates down there.
I know, I saw them.
You saw them?
I saw
them. And one of them was in breeches and long boots.
Breeches. Oh, that gets you going, doesn't it? Breeches.
And I had to, of course, enter the debate with listeners on jam first or cream first. Oh, you've just gone down in the world.
I know. I thought I'd lower myself to your level.
He's just, you didn't see that, listener. He's just done a little switch on his chair, and he just, as I was talking to him, he just disappeared.
I did.
It was a bit like
it's a periscope in a submarine.
It was like Thunderbirds, you know.
It was,
I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, international rescue.
Yeah, we've now lost all our 30-year-old listeners.
Yeah, exactly. Thunderbird too.
You're a bit like Lady Penelope, actually.
No, I'm nothing like Lady Penelope. Wait. I'm more like Parker, actually.
Oh, yes. There's a joke about that.
Yeah, quite possibly.
Yeah. Mm. But fabulous food down in Cornwall.
Cornwall. You've been to Cornwall, have you? I didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
With pirates.
Yeah.
I was a wench. But I underestimated how good the food was down there. Fresh fish.
Oh, the fish.
God.
I'll tell you what. When I lived down that way, when I had a house down there.
In Rock.
In Rock. Yeah, opposite Padstow on the Camel Estuary. Mm. Just round the corner in Port Isaac, where they film Doc Martin. Dennis Knight, who owns the local fishing boats there, he would land some stuff there, like John Dory and fresh lobster and crabs. Absolutely unbelievable.
Well, I met Vernon, the fisherman, because he told me off, because he heard me speaking, because the locals were so friendly.
Okay.
And I was saying, we must get the ferry over to Fowey. And my new husband said, yeah, we must go to Fowey. And Vernon, the fisherman, went by and said, it's not Fowey, it's Fowey.
Mm.
You know, and we got talking.
But Jules... But you're someone that's lived in Kent for most of your life, and you can't even pronounce Westmoreland properly.
Yeah.
So
it's all wrong, the spelling.
And we don't even get started on Trotterscliff.
No, well, it's all Elizabethan or something. It's all wrong.
Trosley.
Yeah, get those poor Nurse Liz. She'd never cope.
Yeah, exactly.
But, so Vernon caught us this huge crab. I'll send you the photo later on. It was as big as, bigger than your head.
That big?
Yeah, it was huge. Bigger than your head and your derriere. Put together.
That's huge. That is huge.
And we were, me and new husband, were 3.5 hours eating it.
I bet you demolished it all, though.
Oh, we did. Yeah. We did, with chips and a big salad.
Did you do even a little bit of the spindly bit of the, of the legs at the end, where you spent hours just poking the very last bit of meat out with a little tool thing?
I found I had to wash it down with more cider.
Well, of course you would,
Low lunch. But there was one of the locals, who was an old chap, was looking at us out of his window, because you know all the buildings are all hanging over everything.
Yeah, yeah,
And we're at the harbour eating outside. And his name was Ron, I think. I can't remember. And... he said, "We don't want to do it like that. You want a proper hammer, you do."
An hammer.
It was an old boy, and he came out. He must have been in his 70s. He came out with his proper claw hammer, you know, that you use to put nails in. And he was showing us how to eat the crab, see?
Smash it.
Smash it. And it's like flying all over new husband's shirt. And,
love it.
And he said, "I have washed my hands, see?"
Yeah. You know what happened? He went to the pub and he went, "I got another bunch of them grockles with the old hammer trick." And he went, they fell for it like a big time again.
Grockles, is that us?
Grockles, yeah, you're a grockle, love.
Have I?
Yeah.
But it was just wonderful. And just saying to everybody, support England, go to a staycation, because it was incredible.
They won't like you for saying that.
I know.
Well, Cornwall's not in England, it's Curnow.
No,
yeah,
not.
Independent Cornwall, mate.
Well, and the old black and white pirate flag.
Yeah.
It's great, and the skull and crossbone.
Yeah.
And did you see the raft race?
I saw it. Well, I saw it on Twitter,
Amazing. Mm, amazing.
Nice one.
Everybody must go.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome back.
Enough of me.
That's enough of you. Yeah. We'd like to hear from everyone else out there in the world. So if you're out there listening to us, both of you, we'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can call me if you want on 01233 220035. That's Ashford, 01233 220035. You can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and to use the hashtag BBunker. What you got, Jules?
Oh, I knew you'd ask me that. I'm just trying to tweet out something.
Well, shall I do something while you're messing about?
No, darling, I'm ready now.
Okay,
ready.
Good.
So, Southeast Property Expo is coming up. This is this year's. It's at the Hop Farm, which is a favourite place of mine, in Paddock Wood.
Yep.
I can say Paddock Wood. So
you can.
Yeah.
It's not difficult, mind.
Paddock
Wood. Yeah, exactly.
8 a.m.
Wad. Paddock Wad.
Wad. Yes, we could go on forever. Yeah. 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's on the 11th of October. This is a diary date, listener. And there is a website, which I'll read, but it will be on channelradio.co.uk and bizradio.co.uk. And you'll be able to click on the link. But the website is all the W's. S for sugar, E, propertyexpo.co.uk. And they say, if you register early, shall I say it in Cornish?
Yeah, go for it.
Register early for a chance to win one of 5 Ring video doorbells.
I thought you were going to do it in Cornish, but you changed your mind?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not very good at Cornish.
Yeah.
So it's the Southeast's biggest event for buyers, sellers, landlords, developers and investors.
Fantastic.
I should go.
Cool. I ought to tell you, we've had a bit of a change of lineup of guests today due to unforeseen circumstances. We've still luckily got Mr. Simon Pollard, who's going to join us and talk about lots of interesting stuff, as he always does, even when he's trying to talk to me on a mobile phone, on a motorbike, on a motorway, in a snowstorm.
I was in a car.
Oh, you were in a car last time, weren't you?
I was.
Yeah.
It would have been dangerous.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
Yeah.
And reckless.
But it sounded better, that. My story sounded better.
Dash.
So Simon's still with us, and we're going to look forward to talking to Simon shortly. Unfortunately, Victoria, who was due to join us on the show today, has had a bit of an issue and was unable to join us, and we hope she's okay soon, and she'll be back on at a later date. But we have, luckily, blagged some guests from a previous show.
Superior show.
Here we go. Tim and Magreth from Chateau de Lille. And we're going to be talking to those in the second half of the show. So thank you for stepping in at the last moment, folks. We do appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
It's an absolute pleasure.
We'll be talking about their lovely chateau and how you in Kent, listeners, can get involved and maybe own a piece of it.
Oh,
that's
a teaser, isn't it? There's a little teaser there for the second half of the show.
Can I just ask you something?
Oh, go on. I might not answer.
No, you've seen I've been preoccupied. I've been scrolling back through all your endless tweets. I need Simon's Twitter, please.
Simple Life LTD.
Thank you. That's all I need. That's right. Hi, you can carry on there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
That's most kind.
And also a pen, if you've got one.
A pen, yeah.
Yeah. I did have one, but I've lost it.
There you go.
Thank you. See, the guests have to do everything.
Yeah, I know. You can't get the staff.
I know. There's a Kenwood Trust. It's going to be celebrating its Golden Jubilee, Paul Andrews. Did you know?
Yeah.
They're marking their 50th anniversary, and they're hosting a week of fundraising events in July, and it's at their main site in Yalding. Very, very nice village, Yalding, near Harry Covert.
It is, yeah.
Who's resting his leg at the moment. So for 50 years, the Kenwood Trust has been providing residential addiction rehabilitation services from projects across the county, as well as innovative education programmes in schools. And more recently, they've been befriending services in prisons. And to celebrate helping thousands of people over that time, they're going to be developing their fundraising to enable the service to continue for another 50 years. So the charity has put together the following events during the anniversary week, which is in July. So on Wednesday the 4th of July, which is mañana, you can go between 2 to 4 and you can enjoy a lovely, sumptuous afternoon tea, and you can hear Tales from the Tower with Keith Hansen. He's the chief exhibitor at the Tower of London.
Wow.
And the Queen's bodyguard for more than 20 years. Well, I never. So he'd be good to get down to the chateau in September.
Absolutely.
Remember that name, Tim.
I will.
And Friday the 6th of July, enjoy a sumptuous three-course meal with entertainment from world-class magician Etienne Prédier before dancing the night away with Cheryl Baker and her band, The Fizz, at our Butterfly Ball, formerly known as the Bucks Fizz. So they changed the name, probably for some reason.
It's for legal reasons that they changed the name, but the lineup is still Jay Aston and Cheryl Baker and the bloke, whatever his name is.
David Van Day. And Cheryl will probably lift her skirts again, like they do. That's what they do, isn't it? They do that whip off the skirt thing.
Hmm.
Yeah? better.
They do.
Mm.
They do.
I'm not promoting that as a as an option.
Well, that's what they do. That's what they're known for.
Because they probably don't anymore, but there you go.
They don't look at them while they do it. They don't look at it. They just, reach out and rip it off.
Yeah.
That was the whole
rehearsal.
Yeah. That was the whole thing.
Yeah. And as they're all knocking on now, that could get, it could whip a Zimmer frame away and she'd fall over or whatever.
Well, they might have knocked knees now as they're older. You never know, do you?
Cheryl, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
Well, you said knocking on. I'm just going on with the flow. Anyway, they'll be there on Friday the 6th. I'm sure it'll be great. And there's a sumptuous three-course meal as well. Mm. Saturday, 7th of July, so that's this Saturday. This sounds amazing. Kent Police Male Voice Choir. And they're going to be singing and performing classical music, popular music and songs from shows.
Hello.
See, we've got a musician on the show.
Yeah.
Sorry about that
was Tim.
No, that's good.
He's got his ukulele.
I like it. It's top pun in that. I like that.
Yeah. It's not a ukulele, though.
It's a guitar lady. It was a guitar lady, yes.
Yeah. It looks like a ukulele.
Best left on over wherever it is downstairs.
No, it's here. I might have a strum on it in a minute.
Yeah.
Sunday the 8th of July,
there's a joke in there, but I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Take part in a 5K family run through the grounds of our beautiful country estate. Under 11s can also take part in a 1.5K run. And this is from Penny Williams, who is the CEO of Kenwood Trust. She also does a show on Channel Radio.
She does. It's just moved as well to a Monday morning.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
For more information and to purchase tickets, go to Kenwood, which is spelled WARD, the ward, Kenward Trust. .org.uk and of course, as always, all details on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Sure. There's an event, The Future of Digital Marketing, and it's free and it's in partnership with Google, and it's a Google marketing event, and it's taking place on the 10th of July at Fruitworks in Canterbury, and it's an exclusive live stream for Google partners in association with AM Marketing. It's 10th of July from 4:30 until 6:30 in the evening. Tickets are free, and to get your tickets you go to partnersevents.withgoogle.com/AM Marketing. Let me give you that again. partnersevents.withgoogle.com/AM Marketing. It's free. It's taking place at Fruitworks at Stour Street in Canterbury on the 10th of July, 4:30 in the afternoon. Get along.
Construction. Oh, I've just read this. Is this the same one in Sussex? No, there's another one.
No, it's a different one.
Gosh, they're everywhere. So construction. Do I have to say this in a Sussex accent?
Yeah, go on. What's the Sussex accent then?
I think it's the same as my every other accent I do.
Yeah, see, I was wondering about that.
Construction Expo South East will be held in Sussex at the South of England Event Centre, which offers a more central and accessible location. And it's providing the Construction Expo with the opportunity to continue to expand to meet the needs of the fast-moving sector that it's in. So the next event for your diary is Thursday the 13th of September, and it's at the South of England Event Centre in Ardingly, Haywards Heath.
We'll do that again. It's in Ardingly.
Ardingly?
Ardingly.
Well, it's all
Is
wrong.
That it? Is that how you say it?
Ardingly.
Ardingly.
So how do you know all these things?
Well, I know that because Ardingly is a public school.
Because you are Elizabeth.
And my kids used to play football against them.
Ardingly.
Yeah. And okay. I remember the song. So anyway, we won't go any further than that.
Is that a rude song? Rugby song?
Yeah.
Okay. I know a few of those too. Haywards Heath, Ardingly. And it's at 8:30 in the morning to 4:30 p.m. Early because of construction. See?
Yeah.
Clever, isn't it?
They're building up to it.
Yeah, and go to constructionexpouk.co.
I like to cement my place in the pantheon of puns.
I'm just trying to think of something like that.
No, don't bother.
Do you want me to read something else?
No, I'm going to read something.
Go on, then.
Can I get a word in?
Yeah, try.
I want to tell you about this. I don't know if you remember, earlier in the year, I had the absolute pleasure of going to meet Neil Nichols.
Yes.
And Neil was a young entrepreneur, but incredibly successful, that had purchased Finchcox. And for those that aren't local, Finchcox is an absolutely gorgeous, stately home in Goudhurst in Kent. And for many, many years, it was a piano museum. Unfortunately, they went bust eventually. And Neil purchased the property for a considerable amount of money and has spent a further £3 million redeveloping it. But it's now his family home, but it's also a world-class piano school.
Wow.
And the cellars, which are more like catacombs, huge, there's 8 practice rooms, and each one has a grand piano in it. That's how big the cellars
excellent.
Are. Yeah. Luckily, earlier in the year, I went to meet Neil and had a tour of the place and was lucky enough to interview him. And I don't know if you remember, we were helping them promote their first classical concert that they were doing there.
Yeah.
And it was a charitable classical concert. Well, I've had some feedback on it. The Kent Music Concert hits the right nose. They raised £900 on the night from ticket sales. Okay, that all went to a charity. Finch Cox, a newly transformed music school in Galdhurst, has raised over £900 through their first ever charity music concert, which was held in collaboration with John Broadwood and Sons Piano Makers. The sold-out concert took place at the impressive Georgian Manor in the newly renovated vaulted brick cellars, where Finch Cox also hold piano courses for adults of all abilities.
My mother was dying to learn.
Yep. Internationally renowned concert pianist Paul Roberts played pieces by Debussy and Beethoven on one of Finch Cox's barless Broadwood grand pianos.
Gosh.
Before and after the performance, guests were able to enjoy a drink and mingle in the stunning grounds of the Finch Cox house. All the money raised was in aid of Help Musicians UK, who worked tirelessly to provide positive support to emerging professional and retired musicians, as well as musicians who have hit a crisis in their lives who are suffering from long-term or terminal illnesses.
Okay.
So Neil Nichols, the owner and entrepreneur, stated that Finchcott's plans to provide continued support to Help Musicians UK, and they will be planning more charity concerts at the house over the coming years. If you want to find out more about it, their website is www.finchcox.com.
That sounds like an amazing event and something to go to. Tim, can you play piano?
I can. I just want to add to that, whatever you said there. Yeah. If you see a classical concert going on near you, go and visit it, spend your money, buy the ticket, because it's incredibly hard for any musicians to make money these days.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the revenue streams are collapsing. The only way you do it is by playing live. It's all your Mariah Carey and you're getting royalties. Mm. So if you see a local guy playing a piano in the pub, wherever it is, listen and throw money. You know, it's very easy.
Funnily enough, this will kind of resonate with you a bit. Earlier on in the year, we were promoting some concerts in France.
Right.
The Nigella Conference, Nigella Concerts.
There's one in Saint-Lihier near us.
There's a whole range of them that go across the North Kent coast of Dopal. And one of the people that was promoting that is a really good friend of mine, Celine Gray.
Well.
And so we were promoting that whole series of classical concerts in northern France.
Right. Yeah. Well, we live near a place called Abbeville, and that's the town of the Abbey, translation, and the Abbey is in Saint-Lihier, and they hold the Nigella concerts there as well.
Fantastic. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. I do play piano, yeah.
Yeah.
I study Gershwin and Bach for fun. That's what I do. So.
Right, okay.
And I'm crap, but I do study it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just trying to think. I think it's King's Cross where they had a piano that you could just sit down
that's
and
right.
play.
That's right.
Yeah, they do.
A lovely thing, isn't it? What a simple
gorgeous.
Idea. You know? Pianos are brilliant. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, they are.
Almost an orchestra by themselves, aren't they?
Absolutely.
This is Simon talking. They are, yeah. Well, because it's radio, Simon, so the listener can't see you.
Mm.
Absolutely. That's why I waved my book last time.
So yeah. Held it up for the microphone.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. Absolutely.
By the way, the Twitter is hugely busy. We've had a tweet from the lovely AK Pet Services.
Oh, hello, Adrian.
Good morning or good afternoon, he says, Vanilla Webb and Jules Serkin. Good afternoon, Paul and Jules. I have a new van. So AK Pet Services will transport your sick parrot or your dog or your cat.
Do you remember Samson the parrot?
Yeah. So if you're at work all day, he will sort out your pets for you and take them to the vets if they need to or anything else.
He runs kind of like a pet taxi service.
And a meat pie company.
Yeah, exactly. It's really
the parrot, yeah.
It's really, he's so good as well, isn't he?
Yeah. He's mad on animals.
And he started it because he had so many people that he knew, especially kind of pensioners and stuff, that have a pet that they're very close to. The pet gets sick and they can't get the pet to the vets. You know, they've got no transport or whatever. And conventional taxis aren't allowed to transport pets. So they won't take them.
I'll tell you something. I went to collect my dog from doggy daycare.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't come.
I like it here. I'm staying.
She was so excited to see me. She jumped up on the lady's dining table, which she's never done in her life. She's 8 and a half. I said, and the lady and I went, Cassie, you know, just jumped up. But I collected her and I was in a rush and I needed to get a toilet for my plumber, as you do. because my new husband's bathroom has.
I'm not even going to ask, Simon. Don't ask. But so, yeah, gloss over that quickly.
I went into Allbits in Whitstable to look at a rimless toilet with my.
Oh, I've seen the pictures of that. Toilet. A rimless toilet.
Not France.
Because they're easier to clean. There's no rim, so.
Oh.
Marguerite, as a woman, you'll know, you know, the cleaning that goes on.
Tim does all the toilets.
Oh, does he? Yeah. Come to my house. So, long story short, I went in with my lovely little dog on a lead, and the guy said, oh, we've got a no dogs policy in here. It's a plumbing shop, for God's sake. I said, why? I said, she's 8 and a half. She's not. He said, because she might bite another customer. There were no customers in there anyway, so I was very
in a plumbing
upset.
Shop, she's lucky the dog didn't get bit by a customer, just, really.
Yeah. It was ridiculous. It was just me and about 60 toilets and nobody else. Anyway, in the end, he let me wheedle in and I did go. Cool. And I chose a rimless toilet.
Cool. I'm going to do one tweet and then we're going to play some cheesy tunage and then we're going to talk to Simon.
Okay.
We've had a tweet from Fruitworts. Looking forward to this week's Business Bunker show with Vanilla Web and Simple Life and Jill Serkin. Listen live. And can we have a shout out, please, Paul? Yeah. You've been shouted out. Now get back to work.
Yeah. Fruitworts, which is an office hot desking space in Canterbury.
Hot desking community workspace and internet cafe.
And there's lovely coffee there.
The coffee is wonderful.
Is it
even if I say
coffee?
It's garage coffee, even if I say so
I
myself.
I could do with one now, actually, after all that cider.
We have 120 businesses there.
Wow.
Yeah. Cool. Do you know what?
Tunage.
I'm going to play some tunage.
What are you going to play?
It's really easy to guess.
Never heard
Simple
it.
Minds. Oh, come on. On the waterfront?
Oh, yeah, Simple Minds.
Simple Minds. Get it? Yay!
I see what you did there. Tenacious.
And all in. We'll be right back. Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed. Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
Grow your business with Kent's best business events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent business community today.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 and bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 3rd of July, with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
And we're having a heat wave, aren't we?
We are. We're having a heat wave. Isn't that another song? No, I played on the waterfront.
It was, yeah, very good. I thought.
Do you get it? Simple Minds. Do you get it? Do you get it?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, cool. Cheesy.
Are we going to speak to Simon?
We're going to speak to Simon any minute now.
I want to know about perch and tench and all that fish
stuff. He didn't come to talk about perch and tench or gudgeons or sticklebacks.
He doesn't know about fish.
No, he's not a fisherman.
He knows about ponds, though.
We quite actively encourage people not to put fish in ponds.
Why?
There you go.
Why?
Because generally when we put ponds in, they are new. They are not established.
Mm.
And therefore, there is no food for the small creatures that the fish would like to eat.
You have to wait 12 weeks, is it?
At least. A bit more, I would think.
Mm.
But ultimately, we're about, if you like, the insects, the creatures that need their early life in the water, so we can enjoy them when they come out of the water.
Yeah.
Things like dragonflies, like damselflies, which have to be, for me, for everybody, one of the most amazing creatures.
Dragonflies.
Dragonflies.
Yeah.
Basically a dinosaur. Mm. Probably the first thing that came out of that primordial soup.
Yeah.
And we can actually enjoy those creatures in our own spaces.
Mm.
If we have a pond.
And newts?
Newts.
Don't talk about newts.
Why? I just have.
No, don't talk about newts.
Newts.
Come on. Well, he's obviously got a story, Simon, about newts. You've got to ask him because he'll sulk.
I'd imagine it's a horizontal story. But
No, actually. All it is that I've had loads of people in my garden all through the spring doing great crested newt surveys.
Oh, right.
Well, it's better than impressions.
Yeah. Well, their impressions were rubbish, yeah.
Are they a species that's
they're protected species, yeah.
And got one, have you?
No, I've got a large pond in my garden.
I know.
This is funny. I've got a large pond in my garden.
You've got a large one, yeah.
Yeah, but South East Water wrote to me and said they're changing all the drainage in the main road. And because that could affect water courses at the side of the road, they'd been on Google Earth and seen that I had two ponds. Yeah. Well, whoever went on Google Earth didn't look very closely because I don't have two ponds. I have a swimming pool and a pond. Yeah. But anyway, part of their remit before they're allowed to start work, they must do a survey to see if there are any great crested newts there. And at the same time, the Great Crested Newt Fancier Club came along and said they wanted to check. So we had a great crested newt party for a couple of weeks in the garden.
Nested pukes.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
That's, you sound like you've been drinking soda.
Yeah.
I tell you, Simon, what I noticed when we were down in Cornwall, which will interest we were in Cornwall and
We never knew that, did we, Simon? She's never mentioned it at all.
What I noticed was the abundance of wildlife that, and I realise how we have far more little wildlife. You'll disagree with me, but in our we haven't got the hedgerows anymore as much, and we're losing, people are concreting their front gardens. And when we were walking, I saw like 15-20 butterflies, all different little blue ones, red admirals, you know.
This is technical. Little blue butterflies, well-known species, that
cabbage whites, all of them.
But there's no such thing as a cabbage white.
Oh, isn't there? Well, what did I see then? Little blue things.
Might have been a small white.
Oh.
Or a green-veined white?
Where did the term cabbage white come from?
Colloquialism.
Right, okay.
Oh, I am
okay.
Colloquial.
That's typical of her. She's very colloquial.
I am a wench, a Kentish wench.
Yeah, she is, yeah.
But, Simon, the difference was unbelievable. You know, I just said to my husband, look at the wildlife and the wild flowers and the hedgerows. So how are we going to get that back in Kent?
Well, the way I think we get that back is we need to persuade people that they need to quite often just enhance or put a little bit of time and effort into their own gardens. Because if you actually add all the gardens across the country together, there is more space than there are if you add all the national parks, RSPB reserves, Wildlife Trust reserves, available spaces for our wildlife to exist.
It's funny you should say that. It's funny you should say that, because I'm going to astound you now. For some bizarre reason, just yesterday, I was looking at a report from the National Ecological Audit Survey that was...
As you do,
because I was bored and I thought I'd read it. And this staggered me, and I had to read it three times and actually go away and check it, because I was staggered by the findings. Do you know that actually less than 3% of England is actually built on?
Well...
Less than 3% of England is built on.
Built on? You're talking about South African food now?
No. She had to get one in, didn't she?
Built on.
That's, yeah. But the interesting thing, you were saying, though, Simon, even in urban areas, 54% of urban areas are green space when you add up everyone's garden and everyone's park and all the rest of it. Amazing. And just one more thing. We now apparently have more woodland in England than has ever been recorded, and we have as much woodland as was recorded in the Doomsday Book.
Wow.
That's amazing, isn't it?
But that's not about just the balancing, though, is that an awful lot of our country is covered with a monoculture.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is the downside, which is great in some respect for some creatures. I mean, skylarks, for example, like those big wheat fields.
Yeah.
Skylark numbers are down, but it is the fact that we have the diversity.
Why are skylark numbers down if we've got the wheat fields?
I have to confess, I don't know.
Oh, well, let's look it up.
But it's one we can chase through. But what I do know is that luckily where we are in the south-east of England, we've got loads.
Yeah.
And if you go out and walk in the fields and you can hear them.
Yeah,
wings going like silly. And you just kind of like wonder, how on earth have they got enough energy to A, stay up there? I mean, imagine trying to flap your arms up and down and get airborne.
Yeah, I try it all the time. I never get anywhere.
Yeah, he tries.
Yeah. Usually on the way home, yes. But anyway.
Well, I tell you what astounded me. A young lady that I know has just bought her first new build house just outside Whitstable, about probably an hour outside. And I said, she said, it's got a little garden and that. And I said, oh, great. I said, you're going to have a lot. You know, what are you going to have a lot? She said, no, it's all been done with AstroTurf. And I was so upset. I said, think of the little birds and how they peck and, you know, the worms and that. So new builds are now, people are plumping for AstroTurf.
Which is crazy. It's not good because you've got to put, under the AstroTurf, you prepare the ground like you do a driveway.
Yep.
So you're digging out 6 to 10 inches at least of soil, backfilling it with MOT aggregate, putting sand on top of that, and then the AstroTurf.
Wildlife hasn't got a chance.
That's it. All you can do is, if you're going to put in AstroTurf, you've got to make sure you put in some seriously sensible planting all around it to try and make up at least the balance a little bit.
Yeah.
But again, this is if you like, my mission is to just try and get people outside and enjoy the outside with a little bit of understanding. And if people do want to go the AstroTurf route, then let's take a little bit of understanding and make it better to bring the wildlife that is out there into our lives to enrich it.
The problem that I see, and I don't know how you feel about this, Simon, is that so many people want to sanitise everything that they see. They just want to sanitise. They want it to look nice and be straight and all the rest of it. Some people claim that I'm just bone idle and lazy, but I like to think that I just like having a wild garden, and therefore to cut the grass would just be a travesty.
But it's funny. We put in meadow turf. Which is, both, I mean, it's full of flowers, it's full of the more indigenous grasses.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things we have to do if you put in a large area, because people just sort of say, well, you didn't bother with that bit, you left that, you're going to be ordered to mow it. So we'll actually say to people, if you just trim in some pathways and keep them, you can actually say, no, that's entirely planned. We've actually got a walkway going through here.
Yep. Absolutely.
We've got all these colours, blah, 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 blah. And it's, oh, did you? Oh, okay, then.
Similarly, in France, they do this thing where the councils are encouraged to cut the grass less, and then later in the year. And that very simple thing of letting it flower first gives you a habitat that you didn't previously have.
And a nettle bed. Let's all have a wild nettle bed.
And nettles make great pasta as well.
They do.
They're really good.
And you can add them in Cornwall. They put it with a cheese.
Yes, Dutch. Subenhara.
Jarg.
Subenhara.
Jarg.
Jarg. Okay. Yeah. In Holland, it's Subenhara.
Okay, yeah. Nettles.
Yeah. Nice, isn't it?
And nettles.
I love it. Yeah.
This is Marguerite. Nettle tea is nettle very tea. Good for
nettle
you.
Nettle soup.
Yeah, very, very good for you.
Yeah, no, I agree. One of the things when I go out presenting, in this country, we like to have everything, a nice square edge lawn.
Which is what Paul said, sanitised.
And one of the things we say, all the rest of it, if you don't want your stinging nettles where you can see them, find a space where you are happy to have them.
Absolutely.
Because without them, you won't get your peacocks and you won't get red admirals because the caterpillars feed on them.
Mm.
You know, if you have an area where you can put twigs and logs and things like that, which provide homes for animals, put it somewhere where if you don't want to see it, you can't see it. Mm. Find a way of working it out where it's okay within your preferences for your garden.
Yeah.
It doesn't take a huge amount of effort, but I have to admit, I'm the same as you. My garden, what people say, looks wild, and it is. And do you know how much effort I put into it? About an hour a month.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't mind stinging nettles growing in my
It's really funny.
Raspberries.
But you've got a beautiful garden. You've got lots of fruit in your garden.
I have. And I've got walnut trees and all kinds, but they're all kind of wild. I mean, I don't do anything to them. I don't have a garden or anything like that. There's a flower bed kind of thing-ish. My dad, bless his soul, he passed away a year or so ago, but he was a great gardener, and he used to come and fiddle around in my garden. We lost a tree. It got hit by lightning, and we cut it at a stump level, but it left a big stump in the middle of the lawn at the front. So he built a little flower bed arrangement around it, and he planted some stuff in it, and I just ignored it. And 2 years later, that all died off, and it just grew up. And somebody came into my garden the other day, and they went, your front flower bed is gorgeous. There's a gorgeous display of flowers. What are they? Well, I don't know. They're weeds. You know, and just because I left it, I mean, because there's no such thing as a weed, is it? It's just a plant.
It's only a plant that you don't like that grows where you don't want it to.
Yeah.
You know, and any weed that's, if you like, I mean, borage is a classic example, but bees and butterflies love it. It's got a little tiny blue flower. If you have borage, you've got nothing else at all. So let it flower and get it out before it, you know, before it seeds.
Yeah.
You can enjoy it. The insects enjoy it. Get it out really quick.
Is that also known as the cucumber plant? Is that borage? These are the edible flowers that...
I've got me again.
Yeah.
No, don't worry.
I was just going back to what Paul said, because my dad was also a brilliant gardener, and we grew up with all our own vegetables that my dad grew, from, the war and all that. Everybody did self-provide a lot more, and we had chickens and things. And is it just that we're not passing these skills on, like DIY? I mean, my new husband cannot do DIY. My dad was brilliant. He rewired the whole house. And so are we not passing these skills on to our kids? Are kids not going out in the garden and grubbing about now like they used to? Do we do it at school anymore, school gardens?
I think there's an awful lot of kids. I know my son's now 18. And a lot of his mates don't actually see outside. They just spend the entire time with the computer.
What a shame.
Interacting to people remotely at a distance. Mm. And so Ross, being my son, for good or bad, has spent half his life outside. And we're meeting up after this and going for a ride out before we watch the football. But he joined the Duke of Edinburgh scheme at school. Mm. And they showed him basic map reading skills. And he sort of said, but I know all this. Because I've been doing it for years.
Because your dad...
We're going to go and walk the South Downs Way in a month's time. Mm. And because he'd been out, all these places where the kids are lost, he says, well, it's down there and on the right. I've been walking these paths for years because my dad always takes me out.
Yeah.
Mm. But it's understanding that there is something about outside that has an energy in it. The skills of being able to do something for yourself, in my case, is that being outside. And that's something that... for me, is fundamental to a human being. Experiencing that, understanding it, the cycles of life that are outside, that not very long ago dominated our entire
lives. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I go out and do presentations, and the book I've written and everything else is designed to try and get people to actually get out there.
Yeah.
and just give it a chance.
If you watch young kids who are on computers all the time, you'll identify with this, you'll have seen it. They sit and their leg is what I call motoring. And I've watched, you know, my son's friends often, they're sitting there and their leg is just bouncing up and down. And it's like, I just can see that that kid just needs to get out there and do something and get off.
It's the same with caged animals that pace.
Yeah.
They pace because they feel trapped.
Musicians do it as well, though.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
The amount of times my wife will put my hand on my knee. It's not affection, it's just to stop the tapping. It's because you've got a tune going round.
And it's because you're speeding up.
Which, I mean, any obviously real musician understands is a vitally important part of any performance. Just to get as fast as possible by the end of it.
First one wins.
Yes.
But you see it on trains now. Kids are not looking out the window. They're not chatting. They're on their phones or on their iPads. So the whole journey of sitting on a train and just chatting and just looking at the countryside as it changes, going into London, it, you know, it's beautiful, some of the sun. And then you get into Clapham Junction, you see the houses change. But they're all not seeing it.
It's actually looking. And to be fair, that's not just the countryside. That's walking down Canterbury High Street and looking above the ground level.
Yeah.
Have you seen the architecture in Canterbury High Street? Just actually look, see, and be aware of what is around you.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
My dad said that to me. He said, look up.
Yeah.
That's the best advice he ever gave me.
Funnily enough, talking about Canterbury, the new Whitefriars Shopping Centre, on the roof of the shopping centre, they have a garden and they have beehives.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Fantastic.
Yeah. Brilliant.
In Paris as well, on the Palais de Justice.
Yeah.
Lots of places. Great. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Simon, you've got an event coming up.
I have.
You coming along to tell us about that. And I also want you to remind people about the book that you've written as well, because that's also important. But let's go with the event first.
Go with the event. A week Sunday, being the 15th, I'm running an event down in Dungeness Nature Reserve, the RSPB Reserve.
Just to interrupt, you know Dungeness is the only desert in the UK.
Technically,
yeah,
there's a hell of a lot of life on it.
I know there is, but it's designated a desert.
Why?
It's just because of what it is.
It's definitely the largest shingle headland in Europe.
Hmm.
We'd like to say the world, but the Americans might argue Cape Canaveral's on a similar kind of scale, because it is all based on a shingle expanse.
Yeah.
So the soil is very low in nutrients.
But it's to do with the soil. The definition is to do with the soil rather than sand cover.
With the soil, but also because it's sticking out into the sea, you get two kinds of weather, basically. You get wind, and on the odd day where the wind stops, you get sun, and you bake.
Yeah.
And that's about it. Now, if you're a plant, that means you've got very little liquid at all. Mm. What you have got is trying to be blown away.
Mm. So fat plants.
If you're a creature, I mean, it's like sallow is about as big a tree as you get.
Mm.
Most of it is gorse and brambles, but there are some special things. There's things there like Nottingham catchfly, dodder is another kind of red stranded plant, is another one. Vipers bugloss does really, really well. And the last one, I went down a couple of weeks ago and shot a video, and the place is just blue at the moment.
Wow.
It is an amazing, it's one of those, it's barren, but that barren is beautiful. No, I love the remoteness of it, the bleakness of it.
Yeah.
I can't remember there not being a power station somehow.
I was going to say, and the water's nice and warm because of the nuclear power station there,
But you know, there's a company that makes a living by picking up the stones from one side of the power station and ferrying them across Dungeness and dropping them on the other side of the power station, because the sea keeps moving them. So they just keep putting them on there. That's got to be a good way to make a living.
Absolutely.
Especially if you're the boss and somebody else does it for you.
Gravel shifting.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I interrupted you, Simon. Not sorry.
It's reminding me not to swear. We've got an event down there. The event is called Better, Brighter, Calmer.
Mm.
And it's, if you like, my brainchild. Or at least I'm the one who's making all the noise. But I believe, as well as the traditional therapies that we enjoy to make us better people, things like the nutrition, the things that we put into our bodies, the treatments we give ourselves, things like massage, reflexology, those kind of things, we also need to be aware of where we put our bodies and how we interact with the places we put ourselves. So what we've actually got is I've got some other experts coming to help me. I'm going to start the day off, and I'm going to talk about what, for me, are the reasons why we should enjoy the outside. Mm. And some of those creatures that I think are little miracles. We touched on dragonflies earlier.
Dinosaurs, you mentioned.
Absolutely. Mm. and how we as people are better when we get outside.
Mm.
I will finish off with a little meditation, because I believe that that's a very, very good way with touching with the energy, with whatever spirituality might be out there. And I'm not talking religion and all the rest of it, but I shall work on that. We've got Debbie Mulvaney, who's coming down from Shaping Wellness. She's going to do some workshops on nutrition, and she's going to feed us. Then after lunch, we've got a lady called Krista Drennan from Soul Solutions, who's going to come and do some workshops on meditation. Running all the way through that, my wife, Gillian Pollard, of Gillian Smithson Massage Therapies, and Dee Stringer from Amethyst Therapies are going to come and do some little taster massages.
Okay.
Things like that you can do to help release tension within your body. And we're going to finish off actually going out onto the reserve and actually experience it sensually. So it's touching it, that's feeling the reserve, that's seeing what's there, tasting it, smelling it. And I'm hoping Krista will do a little meditation actually outside on the reserve. So that's next Sunday.
15th of July.
15th of July. The whole lot, that's food and four workshops, will cost £50.
Okay.
We have got five spaces left.
Right.
And they're, just email me. That's, here we go, simon@simpleliftd.co.uk. And the first five people in get the tickets. There's just five left.
Fantastic.
Wish I lived in England.
Mm.
That's it. Book.
Yep.
Very, very quickly, because Paul's sweating.
Yeah, no, we're fine. You're all right.
Was The Three-Year Pond and Other Absurdities. And if you like, that's the period of my life, which was entertaining, to say the least, which got me to the thinking that I have now, which is the one that I go out and expound to anybody I can persuade to listen. The book can be got from Amazon, through my website, or just come and find me, because I've always got a copy to sell.
Right.
And I'll even sign it for you and devalue it, because at the moment there's still more signed ones out there than unsigned ones. But other than that, it's, Simon.
What's the title again? I missed it, sorry.
The title, The Three-Year Pond and Other Absurdities.
Three-Year Pond and Other Absurdities.
Yeah, or Simon's Guide on How to Be Happy. But,
I want one. You
want
one, don't you?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Nice one.
Definitely.
Simon, thank you for that, as
You're
always.
You're welcome.
If people want to find out more about you, what's your website?
www.simplelifelimited.co.uk. But if you type Simple Life Limited into Google, you'll find it.
Yeah. And the link is on the Kempis's Radio website, and we'll stay on there forever. So if you want to find that, you can do that. And once you go to Simon's website, you can find his books, you can find access to this course and all the other kind of stuff that Simon does.
Yeah, we're all over social media. Yeah. Sometimes it's done professionally by a lady who helps me, and sometimes it's blundered through by me. But there's, we're on all the platforms. So
fantastic.
Come find us.
Simon, as always, pleasure to hear from you. Microphone went. So thank you for that, and do stay with us for the rest of the show. But for the moment, Simon Pollard, thank you.
Do you know what Simon's made me think of for the studio? We need plants in here. A couple of little spider plants for the energy.
Terrific.
Absolutely.
Very interesting. Combined Ops Military and Air Show, Paul Andrews, is coming up on the 18th and 19th of August.
Yeah, at a weekend, it was the air show, and I got trapped in a traffic jam outside it, so I was watching some of it.
So you weren't actually going to the air
show? No, I was going to my mum's. My mum lives next to the airfield, and I was going to my mum's, and I forgot the air show was on, and of course I got stuck in the traffic, so I had to sit there and watch loads of Spitfires and stuff.
Poor Betty ate all the biscuits while she
ate all the biscuits before I got there,
Not even a ginger one left.
And not a ginger nut in sight.
So this military air show is the 18th and 19th of August, and it's a unique event. It has a variety of vintage and modern aircraft displays. I guess there'll be a few Spitfires. I'd love a Spitfire. On the ground and in the air, there'll be displays. It's a family event, and there'll also be static military vehicles, living history reenactment groups, arena events, military stalls, children's entertainment and food stalls to make the perfect day out. Oh, there'll be a chance as well, Paul, to see the mighty Lancaster. As well as the RAF, RAF workhorse, the Chinook, and both displays will be close up on the ground for those attending. So that is the 18th and the 19th of August. To find out more, you need to go to headcornevents.co.uk. There is a phone number, which I'll read if you get a pen. It's at the Headcorn Aerodrome, which is in Headcorn, that's the clue, Ashford, Kent.
It's on the main road, so you can't miss it. Yeah.
There is a little postcode here, which is T for Tiger, N for Norman, 279, H for Harry and X for Xylophone. The phone number that you need is 0845 652 6263, and that's the 18th and 19th of August. There's also a Southern Model Show, the Maidstone Model Flying Club, and that's returning on the 8th and 9th of September. And that will also have a stunning array of model aircrafts, helicopters, ships, tanks and other vehicles. All details on your website, of course.
Absolutely, they are. Cool. Thank you for that. We've had a tweet that's actually addressed to you, but I'm going to read it.
Surprise me.
It says, "Hi, Jill Serkin and the absolutely lovely, gorgeous, fabulous, fantastic Vanilla." I might have made that bit up.
I think you've over-egged that.
Can we have a Business Monkey shout-out, please? Buy or sell your car locally on carsfromkent.com.
Oh, I love Cars from Kent. They often send me pictures of really nice cars to just to tempt me. Old vintage Mercedes and things I like. I like those Volvos that Simon Templer used to drive.
Or the was it P100 or whatever it was?
There's a business awards nomination which is now open. You need to find out more about this by going, perhaps emailing them, I suggest. The email is admin.tp, T for Tiger, P for Percy, at sevenoakstown.gov.uk. And you can get a form, and from that you can nominate business awards. Is that just in Sevenoaks? So like a business award Sevenoaks?
It's a business award Sevenoaks, yeah.
Okay, and all details on Kent Business Radio.
The actual awards ceremony takes place in September at the Knoll Academy. Okay. I happen to know that because I'm chairing it.
Are you?
Yeah.
Amongst other things.
Mm-hmm.
There's a masterclass with Jackie Barry, and Barry is spelled B-A-R-R-I-E. It's on blogging and social media. It's Thursday the 11th of July, 9:30 to 12:30. The cost is £97 plus VAT. It's at the Churchill Square in Kings Hill. Go to businesseventsuk.com/blogging and social media masterclass to find out more.
We've had a tweet from the lovely Laura at Tenterton Toilets.
Oh, yes.
Or Tenterton Twilights, to give them their proper name.
Yeah,
yeah.
She's an amazing businesswoman.
I love Laura. She's absolutely fantastic. And she cleans the public toilets in the town that I live in, and they are the best kept toilets ever.
She's award winning.
She is. It's where I go to eat my kebab from the kebab van.
Yeah, you would.
When it's raining, I sit in the toilet because it's that clean and I eat my kebab. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wondered who that was.
Yeah. Exactly. But she's asked for a shout out, and of course we give her a shout out because you two have been discussing toilets for the last week, really, haven't you?
Yeah, well, we've been discussing toilets for
rimless
about
ones.
Two years.
I saw she posted a picture of a loo that had a basin built into it. That's a bit odd, wasn't it?
It's very clever, though, if you think. So the back bit where you'd have
on
the,
top of
the ball
cloth.
So if you've got a really small room,
absolutely.
It's really, really
clever. But the problem I've got with that is where do I put my kebab?
Well, you'd have to.
I'd have to put my kebab in the sink, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
It just wouldn't work.
I was talking about Mevagissi and the accommodation on the Superior Show, Scoff and Quaff, earlier, being just slightly different. And so we were looking around this cottage, and this lovely lady said, "Oh, you could come here, and it's a bit cheaper, and it's you could bring your dog and da da da." And we went in, and there was a toilet, actual toilet seat, a used one, on the newly made bed.
Really?
As you do. So,
well, you've got your own seat.
Wow.
No, it's where the plumber had been in to adjust the toilet, and being a bloke, he just thought, I'll just put the seat down here. And he was going to come back a week later because it was a Saturday and he didn't want to work on something. But he'd done it all, taken it off, left his screwdrivers, all his toolkit, all on the bed.
The great British workman, eh?
Yeah. Luckily, I was addled with cider. It didn't really matter. I just removed it and got into bed. There you go.
Cool. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to go over to Channel Radio Newsroom and hear the news. And then when we come back, we've got two fantastic new guests to talk to and loads of things to cover.
Telling you how you can have a piece of a chateau.
Yeah. So let's join the newsroom, shall we?
Let's do that.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.